Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Our Falcons play here.
I'm here to play ball.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show is on.
Brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Hour number two here on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. The Wade Ford Tailgate Show, brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Andy Bunker, Smoking Joe Patrick. 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. Now we're going to get into the good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
We were holding back in the first hour. Now we're going to get into the... We'll get to the injury report in just a minute. Keys to a Falcons victory. Some final game day thoughts as well at 10:40 as the Falcons take on the Carolina Panthers at 1 o'clock this afternoon. We're an hour away from the Falcons Radio Network pregame show as well. But this is the time of the show where Joe tells us who is and is not injured.
That's right. And the injury report is brought to you by Baron Burton's Fireshire. Bigger, better, bolder, and now spicier. Visit thewsauce.com. Pretty straightforward for the Falcons this week. I thought it could be a little bit dicier for them, but ultimately, Casey Washington, Jamal Agnew, and A.J. Terrell will all be out. The only questionable is Mike Ford. So that's good news because Charlie Warner, for example, missed all of practice both Wednesday and Thursday, but he doesn't even have an injury designation.
I bet he was pretty sore on Monday morning, the fact that he was the lead blocker on like half of the run plays
The Falcons played 12 personnel, that means two tight ends, 87% of the time against the Vikings. They played 11 personnel last year, one tight end, like 90-something percent. I think they led the league.
They led the league in 11 personnel last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's so many different conversations about why 12 would be great for them.
Yeah.
Given what Kyle Pitts can and cannot do, and given what Charlie Warner can do. Like, Kyle Pitts' best skill is being in space and being off the line. Charlie Warner's best skill is blocking.
Yeah. And it was very...
So allow them to do what they're best at, and they finally did.
It was very interesting how they used him, too, which was just a departure from how they've used him in the past, which was...
Him being...
Like a true H-back slash fullback.
Okay.
Yeah. And something they were doing, if you go back and look at the film, they were basically aligning with Kyle Pitts in like a wide split that like there was a player missing. Like there was like a tackle, there was a player missing, and then there was Kyle Pitts. And if the Vikings overloaded that side, or I'm sorry, if they did not have enough players on that side of the ball, they would just shift Warner right up into that spot. So he just like assumes that tight end spot and then just run the ball right behind him. And if they didn't do that, they would just run the ball the other way. So interesting, and it'll be interesting to see how he's used today. But let's get into it.
I had one other totally unimportant question just about the 12 personnel designation.
Yeah.
Because it's two tight ends, right?
Right.
Like, and I know Charlie Warner is a tight end. But there was a lot of plays where he was lined up in the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't
mm-hmm.
that 21? That's two backs.
Well, that's and just one a matter of perspective,
end.
Andy.
Right? Like, but like, anyway.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it kind of is.
But he was lined up as a fullback on a ton of plays.
Exactly.
Which, again, I love.
Exactly.
And has to be one of the hardest jobs in football.
Yeah.
Where it's like, all right, now you're going to be here and you're going to block that guy.
Yeah.
Next play, you're going to be over there and you're going to block that guy. And he does it. He does it incredibly well.
That's why it was so interesting. And it was like using a fullback out of a pistol, too. But the fullback was behind Penix. He was like kind of to the side.
Yeah,
with,
it was some very...
Bijan behind.
Pretty cool kind of like, you know, if you're nerdy and into that kind of stuff. Like, snapshot. Oh, look at that formation. Oh, look what they shifted to because what they saw from Minnesota, especially coming out of week one where there's just so much conversation about being in the pistol. They're going to be in the pistol.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they want to run it. Mm-hmm. That's where Penix is most comfortable. Played a ton of that at Washington. Like, they've also given us 50 reasons why they like to be in the pistol as well. But then they found a way to get Warner in there and use him as a blocker,
yeah,
as a way to get Bijan a little bit more
a true chess piece that was just basically giving them a numbers advantage no matter which way the defense wanted to defend the team. So very interesting there, and we'll see how he's used today, because he will be playing for the Panthers. They've got a couple out this week on the injury report. That's Patrick Jones, an outside linebacker for them, and Tershawn Wharton, who is a kind of rotational defensive lineman. But they are in trouble. So Xavier Leggett's questionable. The big reason why Carolina's in trouble is because of two players that are going to be out who I didn't mention. Reasons, because they both went on IR this week. That is their starting center, Austin Corbett, mm-hmm, and their starting guard, Robert Hunt. Mm-hmm. Both those players are going to be out for what looks like the foreseeable future. Robert Hunt potentially for the year with a biceps injury. He's their best offensive lineman. And just think about this shape the Falcons would be in if you were going into your first game after losing your center and guard. You would be probably panicking at this point in time. And I imagine that's exactly what Panthers fans are doing. And especially after what we just saw and we talked about so much in the first segment, in the first hour of the show, how impressive this Falcons front was just getting after Minnesota. I think the Panthers offensive line is going to have their hands full today, and I would fully expect the Falcons to be able to continue to cause havoc and get in the backfield.
Yeah, it should be a recipe for that. It should be a recipe for a really long day for Bryce Young. And we know you make him uncomfortable, make him move around a little bit. He's not the biggest guy, obviously, so just being able to see down the field in those situations is going to be hard. You let him sit back there and pick you apart, he'll do that, like the Falcons saw in Week 18 last year. But you hurry him up and make him uncomfortable, it could be a pretty bad day for Carolina's offense.
No doubt about it. And one of the reasons why it hurts so much to lose, especially the center, is because not just that player's ability to block the guy in front of them, but how much responsibility centers generally have in terms of organizing what is going on that offensive line. Now, the quarterback also plays a part in that in terms of setting the protection based on what the quarterback's seeing from his perspective. But the center has a very crucial position in also doing that. And this Falcons front loves to move players around. Again, Nate Oley's kind of calling card is just that attack style front that wants to get in the backfield. All kinds of twists and stunts. I would fully expect that to be on show for the Falcons defense today.
A name that Georgia fans and SEC fans in general will be familiar with will be starting at center for Carolina, Cade Mays. He's a Georgia offensive lineman. They transferred to Tennessee. I mean, his dad sued the school at one point. Hmm. I think they settled. He got his finger caught in a chair at some event, and I think he had to have part of it cut off.
Wow.
Yeah, so anyway, just random.
Fun fact to share with your family and friends today during the game.
Yeah, Cade Mays' dad sued Georgia because he doesn't know how to sit in a chair. I was like, I don't know, that's on you, man. Like, people have sat in folding chairs before, and I never heard of somebody cutting their finger off, you know? It's like the lady that spilled coffee on herself at McDonald's. It's like, a lot of people have ordered hot coffee at McDonald's before. You're the first one. But I don't know. Anyway, I'll always remember that story from Cade Mays, and his brother was a good offensive lineman too, and then they transferred to Tennessee. Anyway, it's hard to play at a school that your dad suits. You got to kind of probably leave after that. Anyway, he'll be playing center for Carolina today. Let's go back to some of those Falcons injuries. Obviously, AJ Terrell being out is a big deal.
That's a big one.
How do they deal with that? Just like literally in terms of who's going to play, and then what does that mean trickle down? Because I know with Agnew out, there was different responsibilities for return, but some of those guys might now be filling in for Terrell.
Yep.
So how does that play itself out?
It's particularly interesting because of the weapons that Carolina has, and particularly their first-round draft pick, Tet McMillan, who looks like a really good player. For as many mistakes as Carolina may have made with some of their top draft picks in recent years, whether that's Bryce Young or maybe, you know, a better example is Xavier Leggett, who's questionable for this game, who they drafted in the first round last year. Tet McMillan he's like comparable to Drake London. That's the way a lot of people compare him. Yeah. He's that big-bodied, physical receiver, and he has shown out through the first two games of the season. And it's notable because the Falcons, to replace A.J. Terrell, you don't really have a natural player who has the size that A.J. does. Now, A.J., now has struggled against some of these bigger bodied receivers, like Mike Evans, obviously, he's like kind of most famous
thought
for.
He played well week one against Mike Evans.
He definitely did. And the Falcons just don't have a really natural replacement for that physical profile that AJ has. And so that's compounded by the fact that you're going up against a Drake London-esque receiver in Tet McMillan. So who are some of the potential players that could be relied upon? I asked Raheem Morris about that this week. He mentioned, you know, that there was going to be a competition, basically. So we don't know exactly who it will be, but everybody from D. Alford, Natrone Brooks, Clark Phillips, but all three of those guys are just kind of your smaller body, quick guys. Yeah, Natrone Brooks is a physical guy. He'll want to stick his nose in there on tackles and such, but does he really have the range, I'm talking about wingspan, to be able to properly defend a player like Tet McMillan? I'm not so sure, and I do think that the one player who most compares to A.J. Terrell in terms of this physical profile is C.J. Henderson, a cornerback who was actually drafted higher than A.J. Terrell in his draft class, who's currently on the Falcons practice squad right now. So I would think that he's
going to
be elevated. He may have been.
I think.
So I would expect C.J. Henderson to be elevated, regardless about whether he's going to play, you know, be the guy who's on the field to take these snaps. But I remember watching him in training camp after the Falcons signed him late on in training
camp. No, he was drafted by the Jaguars.
Sorry. It was the other, it was the other expansion team from the 96.
They're expansion brothers, and they have similar colored
That's
uniforms.
Right. Yeah, they do. Yeah. But, you know, but he was even evident when C.J. Henderson first came into training camp.
He did play for the Panthers.
He did play for them.
After the Jags. Okay.
Yeah.
So I knew I wasn't crazy.
Yeah. So he's played for both the expansion siblings.
Yep. And then after that, the Houston Texans.
I'm kind of beating around the bush. I do actually think it will be. If I were to have to pick one right now, I would actually say it's going to be C.J. Henderson, who's going to be on the field more than some of those other players to guard against Tet McMillan. I do think it'll be interesting to see how Jeff Ulbrich also decides to defend in the secondary, where the Falcons have run a lot of man coverage so far this season through two games, and you can do that when you have a corner like A.J. Terrell, who's more of a lockdown guy you can put on a number one. It will be interesting to see if they go more zone heavy, considering they don't have A.J., but at the same time, I think the Falcons have also had success playing man coverage because you then allow your pass rush to get to the quarterback because you just don't offer those early solutions, those quick passes for someone like Bryce Young to get the ball out of his hand. So I think they are going to want to kind of keep that pressure up in their face at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, it'll be something to watch throughout the game, because whatever the plan is going in, if it works and they're able to get to Bryce consistently and make him uncomfortable, then great. You don't have to pivot. If it doesn't work and the Panthers are able to come up with whatever solution it is that they'll throw at the Falcons defense, maybe you'll see them kind of switch on the fly and have to sort of do something like that. But I mean, the key, and this is always the key, but especially given the size that the Panthers have at receiver and what the Falcons now are lacking in terms of injuries in the secondary, make Bryce Young uncomfortable. I mean, you get the quarterback obviously on the ground as much as possible, but hands in his face, hitting him, just kind of making him have a tough day back there. That goes a long way to help those corners that are out there on those islands against those big body guys, because Xavier Leggett's a big guy too. And obviously, he's off to a terrible start this year. I mean, we had Mark Schlereth on our show on Wednesday, and he said, like, he can't remember seeing a guy so unprepared to play. Because I think he was on the broadcast for one of their first two games.
Yeah.
It's like, this guy's not, you know, doesn't look locked in at all.
He had, I believe last week, he had 7 targets for -2 yards receiving. Hard to have negative yards receiving as a wide receiver in the NFL.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
But he's a physical, receiver who likes kind of impose that physicality on opponents.
Yeah, and he's got a fun voice, so everybody knows about
it. Does have a great voice. I hate it that he's not been more successful on the field.
I know.
Because otherwise he's
I don't want him to be successful today, but right, I like Xavier Leggett doing cool stuff, because then you get to hear from him more.
Yeah.
It's just like, one of the most unique guys in the league.
He literally was eating ground raccoon meat in the locker room. He showed it to the media last year in his little Tupperware container.
People eat ground raccoon sometimes, you know?
He's an NFL player now. People, he can afford it, but he doesn't want it. He's got
the taste
for it.
It's not about afford. He enjoys it.
He likes the gaminess.
He does, a good source of protein. My wife's family eats squirrel. You ever eaten a squirrel? You ever eaten a rodent, Joe?
Well, I have. I have.
What rodent?
A squirrel.
Oh, you have?
We had squirrel stew. I mean, I had one bite of it, and I don't know. I probably spit it out. But yeah, it was a Thanksgiving story. We shot a squirrel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I told the story on Randy and Randy.
Well, I bonded with you over this because I was invited on a Thanksgiving squirrel hunt. One of the first times I went to one of the first times I went and met my wife's family, like, we were up there and they're like, oh, tomorrow we're getting up early and hunting squirrels. You want to come? And I was like, I can't even list the amount of ways I want to say no to that. no, absolutely no.
The thing is, if you kill it, you got to eat it. So that was the thing. It's like, yeah.
It's not a catch and release situation.
No, it's not.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get to our keys to a Falcons win today here on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Touchdown Atlanta!
Our Falcons play here.
I'm here to play ball!
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show is on.
Brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Stay tuned later today for the Ticketmaster Halftime Show, brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. That will, of course, be on the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. The Falcons take on the Panthers this afternoon, kickoff just after 1 o'clock in Charlotte. We're about 40 minutes away from the Falcons Radio Network pregame show taking over. Wade Ford Tailgate Show here with Andy Bunker and Smokin' Joe Patrick. And this is the time of the show, Joe, where we tell people what it's going to take for the Falcons to win. Keys to a Falcons victory. This is always the funny thing about this. Me and Randy do keys to a Falcons victory every Friday at 1:20. You and me are going to do this every Sunday on Wade Ford. The keys are always the same, pretty much.
Win the turnover battle. Run the football.
Yeah. Don't get sacked. Try to sack their guy.
Right.
Don't give up a ton of run plays. Try to run the ball good. Don't turn the ball over. Try to create turnovers.
Stop the run.
Win the trenches, blah, 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 whatever you want to say. But obviously there's very...
Dominate the line of scrimmage.
You have to do that. You got to dominate the line of scrimmage. You got to win your one-on-ones. You got to
win your one-on-ones. That's incredible.
Got to win your one-on-ones. That's the NFL's all about, winning one-on-one battles.
Mm-hmm.
You got to play like you want it. No, but obviously there's very specific matchup related ones in this game and in every game. And the floor will be yours for your first key.
First key is to take advantage of what we were talking about in the injury report, which is to make the most out of Carolina having to fill in some gaps, especially at that center and guard position. The Falcons have been very fortunate, by the way, so far this year. They've missed Tristan Wirfs in week one, one of the best tackles in the NFL. They missed Christian Darrisaw in week two, one of the best tackles in the NFL. And then in week three, Carolina Panthers do not have one of the best tackles in the NFL, and they will be without their center and guard. Yeah. So I think the Falcons can't have a lot of success in doing that because they've got those dynamic defensive linemen, too, even on the interior with what we've seen from Rook, Brandon Dorlas, and even David Onyemata's looked like really kind of sprightly so far.
He really has. No, he's looked really good.
He's not just some lump in the middle.
In the middle of that defensive line, which is interesting because 2 years ago, I thought his first year with the Falcons, he looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
He had a really nice year.
Yep.
And then last year, for whatever reason, just kind of, he was okay. But there was definitely games where he was not a huge factor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to the point where I remember in the offseason, there was a lot of conversation about, would they move on from Grady and Onyemata for financial reasons? And ultimately, no. And
I hold my hand up. I certainly thought they actually would.
No, we talked about it a lot.
Because of the savings. Yeah, not necessarily because he's a bad player, but yeah.
And my thought always with that was, man, it's tough to get rid of both veterans on that line.
Yeah.
Grady's not coming back and then also move on from him. That's just a lot to ask of young guys in the middle. And I think that so far, and probably a little surprisingly, Brandon Dorlus has been the best of the youngsters in the middle. I think Aurora Rose looked good too, but for all the, you know, obviously where you get drafted and conversation and all of that, Rook was probably the guy that got talked about more. And Brandon Dorlus has looked really good so far.
Rook was getting rotated in earlier in the season, even though he then suffered an ankle injury and was out for a lot of it and ultimately did not play a ton of snaps last season. Dorlus was not even being activated until the very end of the season and barely played in any games. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think just kind of physically wasn't ready yet to go, and has looked really good in the first couple of games this year. I'll piggyback off that a little bit and just say, don't let the momentum of last week slow down. I know that you're not going to be able to get six sacks every weekend. You might be able to get six sacks again today. Like, there's a chance that you can do that. But don't let last week's pass rush be a blip. Like, let it be kind of a sign of what this defense can do. And I think because of, you know, because of a variety of things, one of them being that Carolina is without some of their guys. They're not a particularly good offensive line anyway, and now they're without some of their guys. And you're rotating so many players, high-level looking players, into your defensive line rotation for the Falcons. Like, it feels to me like, and I'm so hesitant to go there because it's been so long. In fact, never in my time covering the Falcons that there's been a consistent pass rush that you could really hang your hat on.
Yeah.
I want to get there, and another great performance today would help get there too, but I'm not ready yet to be like, yep, that's something that they have, and that's something that they can count on every single week. Don't make people question it. Have another great performance today.
Andy, there are kids who are putting on their Falcons jersey, ready to watch this football game today, who have never seen a Falcons effective pass rush.
It's true.
Like, they don't know it. They've literally never seen it. There was a stat coming into this season that the Falcons had the fewest sacks last year, the fewest sacks the last 2 years combined. They had the fewest the last 2 years combined. They had the fewest in the NFL the last 5 years combined, the fewest in the NFL the last 10 years combined, and the fewest in the NFL the last 20 years combined.
That's all true.
It just has not been an effective pass rush. There have been the odd years where it's been better, but yeah, so rough, and I agree.
With the possibility of this pass rush being good, build on that.
Yeah.
Like, obviously week one, the conversation was, well, they created a lot of pressures, which we've heard.
Mm-hmm.
They cashed in on that in week two. You're not going to build the way you did from one to two, from two to three. That would mean, like, you'd have an Oklahoma type day. Oklahoma had 10 sacks yesterday against Auburn. You're probably not going to do that.
Yeah.
But just make Bryce Young's life a living hell today, and do it with that pass rush. You're going to win the game if you do that. Mm-hmm. So,
And Bryce Young also is tiny, and I'm actually shocked that he has not sustained like some serious injury so far in his career. He's like under 200 pounds.
He's not large.
Sub 6 feet.
Yeah.
I hope he gets out of the game cleanly.
Of course.
But like, you know.
No, I know. Like the hit that that Harrison had on JJ McCarthy last week, like, I know these guys are high level athletes and McCarthy's young and, you know, everybody's knees and things are more flexible than ours are, but like, he folded him up in a way where I was like, dude, if that happened to a normal person, they wouldn't get up for 3 weeks. If he did that to Bryce Young today, I hope that they hit him a bunch of times. No one's rooting for anyone to get hurt, but he's a little guy, man. We're in the era of slightly smaller quarterbacks anyway. Like, it's been made acceptable to be under 6 feet and you can still be an NFL starting quarterback. But he's the slightest of frame, too. Like, Russell Wilson and Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray, some of these other guys are just built a little bit more sturdy than Bryce is. Bryce is pretty skinny, too.
And normally in this instance, I would say, yeah, you want to get to the quarterback, but you also got to protect the against the quarterback rushing, you know, getting out of the pocket and scrambling. And, of course, that is the case. But what the Falcons showed against Minnesota was that they can handle when J.J. McCarthy was able to get out of the pocket. They've got the athletes along that defensive front that are able to track him down and be able to either limit the rushing yards or get a hand in the face still, even if he's out of the pocket. So that's part of what was very encouraging about the way the Falcons played defense last week.
Yeah, no doubt. And again, especially coming off that week one where Baker's so good at just sneaking out, getting those dirty yards, picking up a first down on third or fourth and long, and just driving you crazy.
Mm-hmm.
J.J. McCarthy has the athleticism to do that. I don't know that he's got like the veteran savvy and kind of know when to do it the way that Baker does. Clearly he doesn't, because he's playing in his second game. But yeah, they did a really good job of corralling that.
You ready for key number two?
I'm born ready.
I want to see this Falcons team obviously score touchdowns when they get in the red zone. That's obvious. But I want to see them do it in a way that feels sustainable. Now, earlier in the show, I said I want to see them do it through the passing game. And if I had to choose, that is what I would choose. I want to see them be able to effectively pass the ball into the end zone, because that's what you have to do if you want to be a sustainably high-scoring offense in the NFL. But regardless, I'm not going to set the bar that high for this week. Let's just see the team, when they get in the red zone, just punch the ball in and just do it in a way that is not Michael Penix frantically scrambling and, using every fiber of his, you know, being to extend the ball over the goal line. Let's not do it that way. Let's, you know, punch it in securely, whether that's through Bijan or Tyler Allgeier or any of these weapons you've got. But let's just see them, you know, score some relatively comfortable touchdowns in the red zone.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'd like to see the red zone operation just look a little cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
They look so good 20-20. I mean, they're moving the ball all over. Obviously, the run game looked fantastic last Sunday night. Then they get to the red zone, and obviously it bottles up for various different reasons. And I'm with you. Like, I'm not trying to be picky. Get in the end zone however you can. If it's a busted play and Penix scrambles 7 yards and scores, fine.
Okay.
Or if you run, I don't know if they've got a trick play up their sleeve or whatever, but if you run something cute and it gets you in the end zone, fine. But yes, it would be really cool to see them just line up behind the offensive line. Maybe you have Charlie Warner back there too, and bully them a little bit and be able to use that strength in the red zone as well. I mean, I think everyone would have that. Everyone's going to have that listed. The red zone just has to be better. However you go about doing it, it just has to be better. They're 1-for-5 last week, and the one was a allowed touchdown. Minnesota allowed them to get in to get the ball back.
And it will be interesting to see how they bounce back in this respect, or kind of how they make progress in this area, because something we were talking about earlier in the show, which was like some of the deficiencies that you saw in week one against Tampa Bay, they corrected, like, and they were able to make like big time improvement, whether that's in the run game from week one to week two, getting the quarterback and bringing the quarterback down from week one to week two. So we'll see if the Falcons can actually make that improvement from week two to week three this week.
That's an interesting comment. Maybe we could get back into that in like 10 minutes in our final segment before we hand off to the Falcons Radio Network. It's not really a key so much as it is.
Mine aren't keys.
No, that's okay. But that's like, it's a potential, because one of the things that last year brought was coaching criticism too, right? Mm-hmm. Like clock management, or, you know, preparedness at times,
Sure. What
you were running on defense at times. Like, the whole league doesn't think Raheem's a great coach for no reason, right? Like, Everyone loves the guy and thinks that he knows what he's doing. It looked very much like that from week one to week two with the improvements that they made. And I think Jeff Ulbrich deserves a lot of credit for that. I know that there was some criticism of Zach Robinson at times last week, so hopefully he can have a better overall performance today as well. But we'll get back into that, because I think that's sort of a final factor in some of what makes these elite teams elite. Their coaches are really good.
And hopefully
that's what we have here. This is one for me, and I don't really know how to phrase it so much other than, like, just let it rip. Like, Penix, when you see it downfield, just let it go.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Take a chance or two.
Let's do it.
You know, like, let people see that arm.
We mentioned it earlier in the show. Bijan Robinson still leads this team in receiving yards.
Yeah, let's have that not be true at the end of the day today.
That would be good. That would be good.
Maybe it could be Pitts, because
Ooh. A
little bit more Pitts. I think Pitts has looked really good with the ball in his hands.
Yeah, for sure.
He looks healthier. This is such a like low bar thing to say about a professional athlete, but he looks engaged. Like, he looked, because effort and whatever, being checked in and all that has been questioned at times from him, fair or unfair. But that's something people have talked about.
Mm-hmm.
He looks in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when he gets the ball, he's got that extra effort after the catch, a couple good stiff arms to get extra yardage with the ball in his hands the first couple of weeks.
And he's getting used in some different ways too. They're splitting him out wide and putting him on a slant, things like that.
And he's just kind of going and attacking the ball on those routes. Like, Penix is putting it on him, but he's going and getting it. Like, I want to see a little bit more of that today, because we all know the glimpses you've seen of Kyle Pitts, you know, he is a special athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just to give him a little more. Give him a little more opportunity today to see what he can do, and let it rip down the field. All right, we'll take another quick break here. Do want to remind you that the Wade Ford Tailgate Show is brought to you by Bear and Burton's Everyday Hot Sauce, your secret weapon off the bench. It's flavor that keeps your taste buds coming back for more. The ultimate playmaker for your game day cravings. Pick up a bottle today at thewsauce.com. We'll come back. Some final thoughts. We'll talk about that coaching conversation as well and some more on what it's going to take for the Falcons to beat the Panthers this afternoon right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And we pick the Falcons every week, so Joe just puts his big Falcons head on like Lee Corso. Did you see yesterday, I don't know if this is a new tradition or whatever, but obviously Corso has retired from the show. Pat McAfee jumped off the super high dive.
Okay, I did see that. I was confused as to why he was doing that.
About that close to a wardrobe malfunction because he was stripping down to the Speedo.
Right.
And like when he went to go whatever – he like got a thumb in the top of the Speedo or something, and it all was like, oh, God,
yeah.
Nobody wants that. A whole different ball game. But anyway, yeah, Joe will put the headgear on coming up in about 10 minutes, tell you who's going to pick, and final score and all that kind of stuff. In the keys segment, did you get to all your keys? Because we kind of, I don't know that we I didn't get to all of mine. Did you have another key or two that
I was saying that I like, yeah, I mean, you talked about it, really. It was the passing game. It's like, okay. It's wanting to get these receivers involved. You know, Drake London was kind of held in check that week one. Then obviously he's not maybe at 100%.
Yeah,
they didn't really
need
him.
What did you find out about his health throughout this week? And I'm sure it was asked about. Did they give any updates?
He seems fine. I mean, he was a full participant in practice. Yeah. Okay. So like he suffered a shoulder injury, obviously, at the end of week one. But it wasn't – I think everybody kind of was fearing that it was kind of going to be at the level of Darnell Mooney's, but nowhere near. He seems to be totally fine. I talked to him on Thursday.
He looked a little bit like less than 100% in the Vikings game.
Yeah, I agree. And he had that fumble. I'm not saying that the injury caused it or anything, but you just wonder if like, that was a fantastic defensive play by that guy. So, and I think also it's just like the game flow. They just didn't really need to be putting the ball in the air. You were on the road in a really loud environment. So, not a whole lot of need to get him too involved, but I'd like to see him more involved this week and Darnell Mooney.
Yeah,
you know, like get the both of them, because when you get both of them kind of rolling, they play really well off each other, just given the different traits that each of them have.
Yeah, no, that's a hard part for kind of what I want to see today is I'm getting greedy about wanting to get different people involved.
I know, right?
And there's that's only so many plays.
Problem with this Falcons offense.
Right? It is. It's certainly a good problem if they use it correctly.
Champagne problem, as we call
like,
it.
Like last week, they only threw the ball 21 times.
Right.
So I think Drake had 5 targets and Kyle had 5 targets or right around there. So, I mean, they got half the throws.
Bijan gets 5. And,
right. So
like
there's only so many to go around.
Yeah.
I would think, and who knows, if they run the ball down the Panthers' throats today, maybe they'll only throw the ball 20 times again. I'm sure they would love that. Like, if they can get 40 carries between Algier and Bijan and run for 200 yards like they did last week, I'm sure they would sign up for that every single week, because that probably means that they're winning the football game. I would assume that they'll throw the ball a little bit more today because of what Carolina's defense has. And so, you know, in the last segment, talked about wanting to see Pitts get the ball a little bit more, and I do. But I also want to see Drake featured. And if Mooney is a little bit closer to his normal self than he was in his first game back last week, you'd love to see him get the ball a little bit downfield too. So now you start like, all right, how many times is he going to throw it? Not going to throw it that many more than 30 times, unless obviously they threw it 42 against Tampa, but that was for a specific reason. They couldn't run the ball.
What I'm curious to see in this game is how Carolina comes out and defends this Falcons offense, because what we've seen through two games so far are these defenses really protecting over the top, keeping two high safeties. But the Panthers have given up like 6 yards per carry so far this season. Their run defense is atrocious. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if they feel like the only way we have a chance to win this game is we have to limit Bijan Robinson in some respect. Like, we can't just let him run all over us. We'll never get off the field. We'll give up points ultimately anyway. So we've got to commit to stopping the run, which we probably have to do with extra bodies, and just trust that we have a J.C. Horn who can potentially lock down a Drake London. We have to at least take our chances in that respect versus the other way, where we know we're going to get beat. And if that is the case, then I would expect the Falcons have those opportunities. But again, it just depends on how they want to do it schematically.
Yeah, and you know, the good thing, at least on paper, when you look at that, is the Falcons should have answers. Should have answers for if that's how you want to play it with Bijan. Obviously, they still are going to run the football.
Mm-hmm.
And they might still be effective running the football, because Bijan can make 5 guys miss in a phone booth.
Mm-hmm.
You can stack the box and he still can be productive. But if you do that, then that gets to the other thing that we want to see, which is the potential for Michael Penix being able to throw the football down the field and make him pay like that. Like, this one feels to me today like maybe starting to see the Falcons have so many different questions that they can ask the opposing defense that it's almost like a pick your poison. I know that the one of the main objectives for defenses is to try to make the offense you're going against one-dimensional. Well, I mean, the Falcons were fairly one-dimensional in each of the first two games. First game was throwing the football. Second game was running the football. They were still pretty effective.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can do that at your own risk, but if that one dimension is still really good, then you're kind of in trouble.
Right. Can we hear from Drake London what he had to say about this?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, kid has an absolute cannon for an arm, and his accuracy is really, really good. So, of course, some teams are going to be scared of that. Some teams are going to dare you to throw it. Some teams are going to dare you to run it. But, I mean, either way, I like our odds.
It is kind of funny that he called him a kid. Drake is younger than Michael Penix.
Right, but yeah,
that is okay. He's played more years in the NFL than Penix has, for sure. But the kid, yeah, he's a year older than him. That's all right. But yeah, no, that's right. That's exactly right. Pick your poison.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they haven't gotten both going at a high level in the same game yet. It's only been 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be pretty fun to see it happen today.
And my last kind of thought on this day is, like, I'm just curious to see how the Falcons deal in the secondary. Without A.J. Terrell, mm-hmm. that would be something that, you know, in a worse situation, you know, going up against maybe a more potent passing attack, you'd be very concerned about. In this particular instance, I think given what Carolina, the struggles they're dealing with on the offensive line, the Falcons have different ways to attack this passing game that Carolina can present, and therefore maybe you're not as scared, you're just more curious or interested to see how it goes.
Yeah, no, it's always interesting to see how a team deals with the issues that they have. Obviously, A.J. Terrell being out is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
What's the answer to that? And if they have a good one, then okay, great. That's coaching staff came up with a game plan and the players were able to execute it. I agree with something that you mentioned there, like, this is the type of opponent where you should be able to have your way in a number of different aspects of the game. I'm not saying there's very rarely blowouts in the NFL, and I'm not predicting that today.
I am. Wait till the picks. The Falcons are much
better than the Panthers, and they should be able to impose that on them. You also look down the schedule a little bit. There's some pretty tough ones coming up.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to be able to look dominant against a team like this, when you know Buffalo is lurking right around the corner,
and
that's going to be a bit of a different challenge. Again, you got to win today first. I understand one game at a time, blah, 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 but we're not playing. So it's okay if we look a couple of weeks ahead every once in a while and talk about what's coming down the pike. All right, final break. We will come back on the other side and make some score predictions and a couple final thoughts on what may happen today between the Falcons and the Panthers. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Joe Patrick.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show is on.
Brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, Joe, here's where the rubber meets the road. Final few minutes of the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. That's good to make a car pun when talking about, because it's the Wade Ford, you know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
They sell cars.
I thought you were talking about, like, the abbreviation for Carolina is also car.
Oh, right. You're going.
Is it weird that that's where my brain went when you said that? Deep. I didn't even think about our great partner was at Wade Ford.
You took it a couple levels further than I did, which is awesome. Final few minutes.
We can get weird with this thing.
Let's wait till later in the year, you know? Let's earn the audience's trust a little bit more first. Not to say that they're probably fairly familiar with both of us, but well, let's wait till like Halloween-ish, and then we'll get real weird as the show continues. But yeah, the Falcons take on the Panthers today, as you know. Thanks for being with us for the first hour and 56 minutes of the show as well. Really fun, honestly. I mean, I knew it was going to be fun doing Wade Ford with you before we even started the year, but the first three have been really great.
Yeah.
And you know, the Falcons last week gave us something really fun to discuss as well.
That's part of it. That's a big part of
it. It's such a big part of it. It's such a big part of it because I did Wade Ford a number of years ago as well. And the first year I did it, they went to the playoffs. It was the year they beat the Rams in the playoffs. It was right after the Super Bowl year was good. And then the next couple of years, like, you're rolling in here in November, and they're, you know, significantly under 500.
Talking points are a lot more underwhelming.
Okay. It's not as bad as covering a bad baseball team in August and September. Yeah. Like, that's the worst thing
that's
I've done.
Purgatory.
But anyway, I don't think that's what this year is going to be, we don't have to think about that.
I
think today will be another day of fun for the Atlanta Falcons. What are some final things you need to say about this game before we make a score prediction?
I feel like if the Falcons really consider themselves a playoff team, a team that's going to contend with the other top teams in the NFC, you got to come out here and show it in a game where you are the better team.
Yeah,
things are going into your advantage. You got to put that on the field.
I know that they're probably going to have some fun with it on the broadcast, and we have this week, and everyone will nationally. Whether it's Bijan or Mr. Robinson.
B. Just call him B. If you really want to be like on the in crowd.
Is that what they do?
Well, that's what his teammates all call him. Yeah,
oh,
B.
Okay. That
B.
makes it easier.
Yeah.
I think he's going to have a big day today. I mean, I think every Sunday, like we're getting to the point where now it's just like you have one of those guys.
Yeah,
you have one of those guys that other fans tune in to watch, that other fans talk about. His teammates are calling him the best player in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, it's
and he's in position to get the ball on every single play just because of the nature of his position.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's fun to whether it, if it. Quarterback is the only like more fun one because they get it literally every play.
Yeah.
But like to have a guy that's going to touch the ball 25 times a game every single week and you don't know what might happen on any given play because he's so special is a really cool thing. And it's also cool to see the rest of the country kind of noticing that he's that guy as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think today is another one of those days for him. Mm-hmm. I think Carolina's in for a long afternoon with B.
I do too. I got my final score prediction is going to be 34-10 and a little added.
Oh, you really are picking a blowout.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think this is big time blowout situation.
Wow.
Territory here.
Okay.
And I would add that I think the Falcons defense either scores a touchdown or sets up like a very easy touchdown for the offense.
Oh wow. Okay. I hope that you are correct. I'm going 27-13. I think it's they control them arm's length all day, two touchdown win. But
that'll do me right,
dude.
Too.
If they're 34-10. We're having a fun show tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you that. Either way, I think we are. Thanks again to everybody for listening. Coming up next, we've got the Falcons Radio Network pregame show, Falcons and Panthers, today at 1 o'clock. We'll talk to you next Sunday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.